Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Alice Rhee in for Brian Lehrer. Now take a quick look around. We are all seemingly reading all the time. Emails, blogs, text messages on our phones, headlines on our Blackberries. So one could make an educated guess that all our technology makes us a more literate people, right? Well, not quite. Listen to these findings. Americans are spending less time reading. Reading comprehension skills are eroding. And these declines have serious social, economic, and cultural implications. That's according to the report, To Read or Not to Read, a study by the National Endowment for the Arts. And it shows that for many, reading is now seen as a chore and not something that's done for leisure. So has curling up with a good book gone the way of dialing a phone? Joining me now is Sunil Iyengar, Director of Research and Analysis for the National Endowment for the Arts, and Elizabeth Bermoji, Professor of Literacy, Language, and Culture in Educational Studies at the University of Michigan. She's carried out an extensive research project titled Complex World of Adolescent Literacy. Welcome both to WNYC.
Thank you.
So let's just begin with you. Have you been reading less these days?
Sunil, myself?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, actually, I have to say I've tried to keep it up, and maybe sort of enlightened by my own findings, or the findings of the NEA, rather. I see the need to really continue that and to make that a part of my daily life. Thankfully, it didn't require a lot more effort. I mean, I was always, I've been, fortunately, trying to integrate reading into my life really from a very early age, and I think it really starts at an early age, and my fear is really for those who might not have had exposure early on to the pleasures of reading and who might be likely to lose it throughout adolescence and young adulthood.
Professor, what about yourself?
I read constantly, of course, as part of my work. I read all sorts of informational texts. I read magazines. I read on the computer. I read email. I read a vast range of things. And at night, I treat myself to reading novels. So, if we include all sorts of texts in the equation, then I'm reading pretty much every minute.
Well, okay, let's go right back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in the way that I'm reading a story, a blog, a story online, and picking up a novel? I mean, am I not being engaged the same way?
I would say that there's a qualitative difference, certainly. You're talking about, on the one hand, when you're reading a book, say, or any material, even if it's a Kindle, an Amazon Kindle, mm-hmm. or any kind of device like that, reading, you're concentrating on the text before you. It's a given that you're going to be looking only at that text and thinking about it, pausing to think about it, to roam maybe throughout the text, but you're not going to be distracted by the option to click just with a click of a mouse or a button to go to a hyperlink or something that's going to take you away from the text, or there won't be intrusions on the text. You're also pretty sure that it's pretty certain that you're reading on one specific topic or theme or idea, and you're cogitating that for a length of time, whereas, there's certainly a propensity to do multitasking with, when your book is also an entertainment or information device.
Professor, yes, I want you to pick up on that, and I should just note, I mean, what you're really talking about, Sunil, is when you're reading a text, when you're reading just a piece of paper, that's not a dynamic living thing. You've just got the words and perhaps an illustration if you're reading a magazine. When you're engaged online, what you're looking at is more of a multimedia experience. So it's that contribution, correct, Professor?
Well, actually, most reading theorists would argue that even print on paper is an interactive, dynamic experience,
exactly.
Right? I think Sunil would agree with that. So that, in fact, that's one of the benefits of reading and reading, a host of different kinds of texts, because you are thinking actively. You're building worlds with your mind. And the question, I think, that Sunil's points raise is, are there these qualitative differences that have some sort of cognitive or even social impact, or do we think there are these differences because it looks like the act is so different, because we see people actively, say, clicking a link, mm-hmm. which, you know, of course, is prompting, we're being prompted to do that because the links are there, they're in different colors, and they're underlined, and so there is definitely the prompting that's built into digital environments. But could it be that we're engaging in those kinds of linking experiences when we're reading print on paper as well, and it's simply not as evident? So I would argue that we just don't know yet what the consequences of those differences are. So I would agree completely there are differences, but what are the consequences? That still needs to be studied.
And I have to agree there, too. You know, that's why I also use the word qualitative differences, because,
right.
you know, we're about both of us are about research, and we both would agree also, I'm sure, that we need to see more hard data showing exactly how online reading differs from reading conventional texts.
Certainly.
The only thing I would add is that with what we do know about conventional text, to put it that way, is, you know, fairly, it's abundant. I mean, we know that people who read for pleasure, who read widely, do very well on a variety of achievement tests measuring different subject areas. Of course, reading literature and reading, you know, literacy, but also many other hosts of tests and science tests, math tests, et cetera. We also know that beyond that, they have very positive individual and social outcomes in the lives they lead. We see very high correlations between those who read for pleasure often and those who do things such as volunteering in their communities, between attending arts and civic events, and the list goes on and on. So we do know quite a lot that we don't want to lose readers, certainly.
Certainly. My reference earlier was to the fact that when you are reading something online, it is a more multimedia experience, in that you're reading something and there's a slideshow, perhaps, or there's audio, and there's an immediate way to post something or to send these links. And again, you've got all of these contributing additional resources that you wouldn't have just looking at a piece of paper. And so there's the argument there that perhaps for even adolescents, that perhaps that's a way to get young people reading more. I mean, Elizabeth, is this something you found as well, that perhaps that is increasing literacy?
Absolutely. Young people in our study, and this is in a high poverty community, report reading websites more than any other type of reading they do. And interestingly, they report reading music websites the most. And if you think about what a music website offers, there's print, there's image, there's sound, and it's a way of building what for them would be a kind of social capital, or, you know, something that allows them to demonstrate knowledge that's important in their peer group. So there are lots of resources in those, you know, website possibilities. So the question is, how do we build on those to get kids reading many different types of text? And, of course, my interest is particularly in informational text, because informational text offered in schools is often not very engaging. And we know in our study that the other type of text kids read more than anything else is novels. So we know that they read novels. They read things that appeal to them, that they can, you know, see themselves in. And we have to figure out how we make more texts like that and offer those to young people in school.
And we definitely want to take your calls
to
our listeners. Give us a call to weigh in on reading. 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. And this is my question for both of you. When we think about the amount of time that the children, the teenagers spend online reading, is that movement of sound, text, pictures, how does that affect concentration and the ability to learn? And I think that question is actually fair for adults as well. Does that impair our ability to focus?
I think there's really there again, I always have to put out that caveat, we need more data.
Yes.
But, you know, it seems a no-brainer here that it does certainly preclude certain types of concentration. I mean, we've seen large studies done where they look at 20% of people's reading time, rather middle school and high schoolers' reading time, is actually doing something with electronic media as they're reading. So not even that they're reading online. They might be reading a book or a magazine, but they're doing something else with electronic media, including, and the number goes up, of course, when you talk about listening to iPods or doing something, you know, not related to watching TV or surfing the web. I certainly would agree that it encroaches on a lot of time that people could spend really engaging directly with the text.
Professor?
And I would agree completely with that, just adding the caveat that we don't know what the consequences of those different ways of engaging with text are. The consequences might be, you know, better. It might be that people learn to navigate many different ideas at one time. We talk a lot about lateral versus sort of longitudinal ways of reading, and in reality, both are necessary. A lot of the work I do requires a deep, concentrated, longitudinal engagement with text.
Mm-hmm.
Other work requires lateral engagement. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sunil. Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say that, one important point that I think Elizabeth mentioned is about novels. I think, you know, of course, we're an arts agency, National Endowment for the Arts, but we were brought into this larger question about reading. But getting back to literary reading and novels, we know that we do have some outcomes strongly identified with reading novels. We know that those who read frequently fiction, for example, even if they just read one book in the last year, really, or a book of literary work, they're 2 to 3 times as likely as those who did not read. And this is true for various education levels, various other demographics. They are much more likely to engage in, as I mentioned, volunteering, but also even playing sports, community sports, going to sports events, going to arts events, going outdoors. A lot of good variables we were able to find that reading was very highly correlated with.
Well, I want to mention that Scholastic, the children's publishing company, had sales of up to $37 million with a new style of fiction for young boys, titles including Captain Underpants and The Day My Butt Went Psycho. Now, I'm not making this up. The Day My Butt Went Psycho. Have you heard of any of these new titles that have been added to this canon of children's literature? I mean, it's to try to get young boys to read. So.
Right. I would throw in, it's not just young boys. I read this article, and it draws on Jeff Wilhelm's research, and it's actually not just young boys. Young women in our study love to read what they would call urban text, suspense text, V.C. Andrews type of what we might think of as pop culture. So there's a lot of interest in young people in these highly suspenseful and almost gory text.
Right. I mean, the point I'd make is that it's not exactly, you know, Lord of the Flies or War and Peace.
The only thing I would just throw out as a cautionary note to listeners, I think it's very important also to ask hard questions about who are being studied and what populations. It was important to hear that Elizabeth's talking about, urban, I think, high poverty in some cases, that population. In our case, it was a nationally representative study, so some of the results are going to be different because we're looking at people from all types of backgrounds, and we're looking at, as the U.S. is populated, in terms of the concentration of different ethnicities, races, and geographical background, and so forth, and income level. And yet, we found that across the board, reading has slipped in young people, particularly in males and boys. So I think that's a particularly problematic area.
Let me just interrupt and play you a bit of sound. Brian Lehrer interviewed the NEA chairman, Dana Goya, earlier this summer, and here's what he had to say. Take a listen.
What we see is a decline in reading that's universal among every American, every age group, every income group, every race, every region. And this decline has enormous cultural, economic, civic, and political consequences.
And I just want to correct myself. That was NEA Chairman Dana Gioia.
That's correct.
Do you both agree that the consequences of this are enormous?
Go ahead, Elizabeth. I think I'm pretty clear on that.
I think you know what Sunil's going to say. I would say that we have to be very careful about how we define reading, that we have to think about and study, and here's where Sunil and I agree completely. We need more data on what people are reading and why they're reading. And I'd also direct all the listeners to a book published by Harvey Graff, a massive historical study. This is actually from 1987, but I believe he has a new piece coming out in which he argues that looking historically, in fact, these declines that are cited, and, you know, in the 80s there was a big decline being cited as well, are actually not as much declines as we might think. I mean, the fact is that our nation hasn't, you know, always been a completely literate nation. So, in fact, people are reading more and perhaps reading more complexly than ever before. So he makes the point that we have to be very careful to look at declines in a much larger historical context.
Well, yeah.
And to that, think about...
Let's take a caller. We've got Bill calling in. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the question of, I don't know if you can measure it, but a question of whether imagination is affected by reading text versus reading online. I know from my personal experience that when I'm online, it seems as if the computer benefits, and I don't. I can't remember things as much that I get from online as opposed from reading a book. And I'm wondering if there have been any studies related to that.
Thanks, Bill. Go ahead.
Sunil, do you want to take that?
Yes. Well, the only variable we can really strongly say correlates with reading that you might think of in this really purely imaginative context is those who create artworks on their own or do writing on their own. And again, this wasn't limited solely to text. So we're talking about reading fiction for pleasure. Or not just fiction, sorry, I should have thrown in poetry, plays, novels, short stories. And also when we talk about any book at all, of any genre, any type, even nonfiction, we find that those who read more frequently are much more likely to, and they do engage in creative activities at higher rates.
And I would throw in recent research on online activity shows that young people are, in fact, highly creative as they engage by building different multimedia texts. So they draw from something online and then spin it in different ways. So, again, I think, you know, in response to the caller, it sort of depends on what counts as imagination. I don't mean to always be saying, well, it depends, but in fact it does depend, and we have to be so careful in how we answer these questions, how we address the points about reading, imagination, digital. It also matters what you're looking at digitally versus what you're looking at on paper. Those are, you know, you could read a novel digitally with much more imagination than you would read, I don't know, you know, an ad.
Right. Thank you both for this great discussion. I've been speaking with Sunil Iyengar, Director of Research Analysis for the NEA, and Elizabeth Bermoji, Professor at the University of Michigan. Thank you both. I'm Alice Rhee in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up tomorrow, vertical farming in the New York State budget. Leonard Lopate is next.